if you look around the church, there's a lot of flags around here. We have a lot of people that go a lot of different places. God calls us to go. He doesn't just call us to stand still. Yes, you need to have a foundation, but you need to go. Use your feet. Get up and move. I want to turn, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 28:16-20. This is the Great Commission. This is Jesus gathering his disciples, and he gives them a message. He tells them to do something. He tells them to go. Starting at verse 16, it tells us that then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." He tells us to go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is telling the disciples to go to all nations. But not just the disciples, he's telling us to go, to use your feet and move, to go places. It looks like we got that down, but we don't have to go very far. We're a nation too. The mission field is here, too. I don't know if you've ever noticed a sign when you're walking out these doors out here. In the archway, you look up and it says, "You are now entering the mission field." And I remember the first time I really noticed that is when I went to Romania. I'm like, wow, that's really appropriate. I'm going to a mission. But as I thought more about it and where that sign is placed, the mission field is through those doors. God is calling us not just to go to Romania, to Ireland, to Italy, to Israel. He's calling us to go out into our communities, to bring the word of God to them. He tells us to go, because if you stand still, you're not going to reach very many people. Jesus told us to go, use our feet, get up and move. So that's the feet. The feet help us go, they help us stand, they're our foundation. I want to move to the hands. We all have hands. God gave each and every one of us hands. Hands are used for grabbing, for touching, pulling, reaching. Now here's a really cool part. We all have hands. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God gave you hands. Anyone can reach out, pull something in. If you know me, you know that I like to tell stories. I think storytelling is a very good way of teaching. The Bible itself is a grand narrative, a bunch of different stories all coming together, telling one amazing story. So I like to use stories. I like to use situations in my own life to help others, to teach others. And so today, I want to focus on someone who reached out to me and brought me to where I am today. But before that, I have to give you a little background. The story starts when I was in fifth grade. I had a grandpa. I was very close to him. John Hall is my mom's dad. I spent so much time with him. He was there. He was who I looked up to. He's who I wanted to be when I grew up. He was so cool. But in May, 4 days before my birthday, he passed away. And that was hard. That was hard for me. I wasn't allowed to see him because he was dying. He didn't remember a lot. Didn't know who some people were. And it was hard. I didn't understand why. At the time I was in fifth grade, I had no idea why I couldn't see him. I had no idea why he passed away. And I was upset. I was confused. I didn't know where to go. My family wasn't necessarily a church-going family. We had gone a few times, so I knew there was someone named God out there. I knew he had created us, but I didn't understand why he would take someone away from me, who I loved so, so very much. And so I was in a very dark place for the rest of fifth grade and throughout that summer. I didn't show it. I tried to hide it. I kept it inside. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't. They knew I was upset. They were upset. My mom, my dad, they were just my brother. It was sad. It was hard. I didn't know where to go. I was upset. I was angry. And then sixth grade came along, and I had this friend. His name was Nick. He's a very close friend of mine, and he invited me to youth group one day. I'm like, what is youth group? That sounds, I've never heard of that. And he said that it is a place where all of us in our class kind of come together. We play a lot of games. I'm like, all right, this is sounding cool. And we learn about God. I'm like, oh, okay. I was a little apprehensive. I was still, the wound was still fresh. But he convinced me. He convinced me to go. He's like, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of games. And it's, you know, it's a short lesson. You learn a little bit about God. I'm like, okay, sure. So I come, and he was telling the truth. A lot of people from my class were there, some older kids that I knew. It was pretty cool, and we got to play games. I got to meet Bob and Vicky Urian, who used to go to this church. They were awesome, awesome people. I miss them. But I remember playing the games, getting to know these two people who I didn't really know, and it was time for the Bible lesson. I was a little nervous. I didn't know where it was going to go. And then Vicky started talking, and I don't remember the exact words she said, but I remember what that message was about, and that will always stick with me. She was talking about how sometimes God does things in a way that we can't understand. We are not made to understand because we are not God. We are his creation, but we are a flawed creation because we disobeyed. We can't have the same knowledge as God. And that stuck with me because I didn't understand why my grandpa had passed away. But with that message, it was like, I'm not meant to understand. So there's a little bit of healing there, but it was still, I was still hurt. And I continued to go to youth group all throughout sixth grade. And then I remember seventh grade, Bob and Vicky left. And I was like, oh, no. I named the ball after Bob. It was so cool. It reminded me of his head. It was shiny. But then some new youth leaders came in. Corey, James, Tracy, Val. They were awesome people. They were fun. So the transition was really easy. And I youth group started up. We played a lot of games. And then they threw something out there that I'd never heard of before. It's like, we're going to go to camp. I'm like with tents? No. Bible camp. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know what that was. And they explained it to me. My friend Nick explained it to me. And I was like, okay, that sounds really fun. So I trusted Nick. I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I signed up. I went to camp. We got there, whole bunch of kids. Kids I didn't know. But they were all there. They were just like me. Wanted to have fun. It was awesome. And the leaders there, they were young. They were full of energy. They were bouncing around. We danced. There's this dance that I still love to this day. It's called Drive the Bus. We're not going to do it today, but I really wish we would. But that's okay. And that has stuck with me. I just remember their energy and just like, this is really fun. And they made learning about God really fun. The lessons they had, just, they had such good visuals with their lessons, and I'm like, this is awesome. And then the salvation message came. And that one was serious. That was the one that they tell you about Jesus and what he did and why it had to be done. Because God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us who are broken, who are unworthy. And that's so hard to understand. And if he can do that, if he can send his only, his perfect son who did no wrong, who was not broken, and crush him the way he did to save us so that we can spend eternity with him, that hit deep. I was shook. And apparently a couple other people were shook, because when we got back, I remember it was me, Nick, my other friend Dylan. We went up to Eldon and we're like, hey, we just had this message preached to us last week. Can we get baptized? And Eldon talked to us, made sure that we weren't just, you know, made sure it was in our hearts, made sure we knew what we were doing, what we were getting ourselves into. We were junior high boys. We weren't necessarily the ones to stand up in front of a bunch of people and do this thing that we've never done before. So we asked if we could do it on Saturday, and he said, yeah, sure, that's fine. So that Saturday we were baptized, and the next Sunday we took our confessions of faith in front of the congregation. But when we were baptized, we were made new in Jesus. And that was cool. And so I kept going to youth group through eighth grade. It was fun. I started coming to church. I was feeling really good. I was feeling God's presence in my life. Then high school started. You know, I was still feeling it. I was still riding it. Up until about sophomore year, where, you know, you get busy in high school. There are sports, clubs, a whole bunch of stuff. I did the plays. I did basketball. I didn't play much basketball, but I was on the team. But I was busy, and church started to go off to the wayside a little bit. I would still come to youth group, but church started to get less important. And then it got to the point where youth group was starting to get in the way because I was getting so busy. And I don't want to say it was a disconnect, but I was starting to turn away a little bit. And then when I got my license, I had all the open road. I could go where I wanted, when I wanted. I'm like, this is awesome. Exactly, Anders. This is awesome. I had the freedom. I didn't have to go where my parents were going. I could go where I wanted to go. And unfortunately, that wasn't always church. I started missing youth group. I started walking away from the church. I started following the ways that everyone else was following. I started doing some very questionable things, making some very questionable choices. Started hanging out with different people who also made very questionable choices, and I kind of forgot. I was so wrapped up in what we were doing and started rebelling, and it got ugly. Senior year was ugly because I was not right with God. I was not right with my parents. I don't know if you guys know my dad. He's not here today, but he can tell you this. He yelled at me once. He wasn't much of a yeller, but when he yelled, if you know him, he's not a little guy. He's sturdy. He's tatted up. If you saw him and didn't know who he was, you should be intimidated. He's a big teddy bear, but no, when he yelled, it was, you knew something was, you were doing something wrong. And he was a prison guard too, so I couldn't really do anything about it. I knew he could can make short work of me. So I'm like, all right, well. So I just took myself out of the situation. I got really good at sneaking out. I got really good at getting away from it. Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to honor our parents. And there wasn't much of that going on. It was a dark, dark time. But then, towards the end of senior year, someone else reached out to me. Laura Ritchie, who isn't here today either. She's in Israel. But she reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to do a speech for baccalaureate? I'm like, what is baccalaureate? I've never heard of that before. She's like, it's kind of like a church service, but at the school. I'm like, okay. And it was really weird. I hadn't been to the church. I hadn't been to youth group. And it was like, why are you asking me? There are so many other people who go to youth group who are in your church, who are regularly attending. They're a little bit more right with God than I am. Why are you asking me? She said, I just thought of you. And when she said that, it just, something clicked. I didn't even think about it. I was like, sure, I'll do that. And then after she left, I'm like, what did I just say? I don't know what I'm going to even do. So I started thinking. I started asking. I started looking. I had to see what God was doing. I had to hear what he was doing. I had to look at my life and look at the situations around me to understand. And so baccalaureate came, and I thought it went off without a hitch, except I lost my place, and so I had to stall. But that was about it. I got to see God working, not just in my life, but other people's lives. That was the year that we had the very first Cora Peters benefit at the high school. I saw God working in that. He made me appreciate things that I took for granted. It was cool. And so I started to come back to youth group. I started to come back to church. And I was starting to feel that feeling. And like, yeah, this is right. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I just kept going with it. And that summer, after I graduated, was the very first VBS that I helped with. It was over at the Methodist Church. I remember that because it just stuck with me. And I volunteered to help. I volunteered to help as a crew leader because I'm like, I don't think I can be in charge of anything. I'm not quite there yet. And so they put me in charge of a bunch of little kids. I'm like, okay, I work at the park district. This shouldn't be that bad. I know some of these kids, but some of these kids, I have no idea who they are. It was the best group of kids. They were wild. They were energetic. They made me try and keep up with them, and that was a first. That was a wild bunch of kids. But I got to know those kids. I got a better relationship with those kids. I'm like, this is really cool. I like doing this. I'll help next year, too. Well, my dad was also helping. He was doing the opening and the closing skits. He was in charge of those. And I remember one day he came up to me and he was like, hey, do you want to help me with this one skit? I'm like, sure. What do I have to do? He's like, well, I need a Jesus. I'm like, ooh, okay. What do I need to do? I can do that. What do I need to do? He's like, well, there's going to be two songs playing. When the first song plays, you have to drag in the cross, bring it all the way up to the stage. It was a really long walk. Because I started at the back of the Methodist sanctuary and I had to go all the way around and through the middle. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And he's like, when you get up there, put the cross up there, and you pretend to die, as Jesus did. I'm like, okay, I can do that. What's next? Well, another song's going to start playing, and you're going to come back to life. There's going to be another actor. It was Delmer. I remember that. He's supposed to be a king of the earth, and when when you come back to life, he's going to come to you, put his crown at your feet. You're supposed to hug him. Like, okay, easy enough. He's like, there's one more thing you got to do. Okay, what is it? After the song's done, You're supposed to call up all the kids to pray. Easy enough. And during the prayer, you're supposed to disappear. I can disappear. I got really good at sneaking out. So I can disappear. I can be quiet. Contrary to popular belief, I can be quiet. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. And so the day came. We did the skit. I brought the cross up. I died. Not really, but pretended to die. Came back to life. Delmer did his thing. We hugged. The song ended. And now it's time to call up all the kids. I'm like, all right. I remember the motion I did. And as soon as I did this, not only did they come up, they grabbed me. I'm like, whoo, this is going to be hard to disappear. Because they were surrounding me on all sides. There was no end in sight. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to stay here. And there was a reason for that. A really cool reason. During the prayer, I had this little voice in my head saying, hey, not really, I don't hear people talking to me, but I just had this feeling, like, it's just telling me to look up during the prayer. I'm like, so I did, and what I saw was overwhelming. These kids were hugging me, but they weren't really hugging me, they were hugging Jesus. Kids learn very well with visuals, and they saw Jesus, and they responded. They reached out to Jesus. And when I saw that, I knew at that point, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life, is to show kids Jesus however I can. And so a few years passed, a couple other things happened. Now I'm the youth pastor here at the church. Hands, they reach out. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can affect anybody at any time. There have been so many kids in my life that have shown me the love of God in ways that I've never seen before. I've made so many good relationships with people who are younger, older, and everything in between. Because they reach out and they show me how God works. But hands don't just reach out. You use your hands to work. You use your hands to build, to help, to heal. Turn with me to James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Wrong page. Talks about faith and deeds, things that you do. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. They work together. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham was made complete. Whoops. Lost my spot. Hold on. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous, but what they is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. They work together. Faith and deeds work together. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different direction? As the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You can have faith. You can believe. Stuff can happen to you, and you can still believe in God. But when you believe in God, God has this wonderful way of putting something in your heart to do something about it. He might be telling you to plant a church. He might be telling you to go, whether it be to your community or to a different country. He might be telling you to reach out, pull someone in, maybe someone you don't even know. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's someone you've never even met yet. The point is, when you have faith, you want to do something about it. You want to show how God is working your life. You want to show the love that God has, not just for you, but for everyone. You want to show them. You want to be different in this world. You want to look weird in front of the people who don't know what you're talking about. So we're going to move to the head. Now, the head is really cool because that's where a lot of the senses are. That's where they all kind of, most of them are derived from. You have your sense of hearing, you can still have your sense of touch, you can smell, you can taste, you can see. The head is like the powerhouse. It's got your brain in there. Your brain tells you what to do. If you want to grab something, your brain tells you, hey, reach it, grab it, take it. If you want to go somewhere, your brain will tell you to go. We have a lot of heads in this church. People who hear the problems going on. People who see what's going on out in the world. They're like the teachers. The teachers have to see a problem. They have to hear a problem, and then they have to think about it. They have to think, try and come up with a solution to the problem. And when they figure it out, they either do something about it or say something about it. They use their senses. They do something with it. Now, it's really cool because we need teachers. We need people looking in God's Word and telling us what to do, how to do it. The same way the brain tells the foot to move, a teacher can tell you, well, this is the country you're going to go to, and this is their needs. Are you hearing it? Are you feeling called to it? Teachers can say, if you're feeling like you need to do something, reach out and do it. They teach us how to do it. Teachers are amazing. I've been in the teaching realm for like 5 years, and it's really cool what teachers can do. We have some awesome teachers in this congregation and just in this community. And they do an excellent job of teaching these kids how to do and how to be and how to go and how to move. But here's the thing. If your brain tells your hand to read something but you don't have any hands, you can't grab it. If your brain tells your feet to move but you don't have any feet, you're not going to make it very far. That's kind of our call. We're supposed to be the hands and the feet, the heads. We need those people who are looking at Scripture, understanding it, teaching us. We need those people who are willing to go into the world to make disciples of all nations. We need those people who are willing to be the hands to reach out and pull people in. The body is the church. We are the body of Christ. We are called to do different things. Not everyone is going to use their feet to go to different countries, but you can go into your community. But if you just go and not do anything, I'm here. I'm just going to stand here. I'll be a body right here. You can't just be feet. If you were just a foot, how would you reach out? If you were just a hand, yeah, you could reach out, but you wouldn't make it very far. You would miss opportunities to reach out to other people in different places. God calls us to be the hands and feet. He tells us to go and to reach. Sometimes he calls you to teach or preach on one Sunday. God has a calling for you. And without the people teaching us this, without the people who look at this and understand it, nothing else is going to work. We need those people teaching us just as much as we need those people reaching out and going. That's how the church works. We all work together. Apart, we can't do very much, but together, we can do a whole lot. Got a verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting at verse 27. And this verse may as well be the themed verse for this entire message. Because this is cool. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. But are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. You see, God has put in this church a lot of different kinds of people. He has those people who are constantly feeling like they need to go to different places and teach. We have a lot of people who are very good with their hands, who are very good workers, who can fix anything they see, and God can use that. We have those who are willing to reach out and help those who are less fortunate than us. We have those who are called to teach God's word. We all need to work together. God tells us that we are the body. The body works together. It does not work apart. So I got one more body part for you. We're going to look at the heart. Probably the most important part of the body. Your heart. What keeps you alive? Without the heart, you wouldn't be able to do very much. You couldn't do anything. The heart is what keeps us alive, gives us life. Without it, there's no point in having a body. God is the heart of the church. If you have the church but don't have God, then what is the point of the church? God is the heart of the church. God is what gives us life. But another really cool part about the heart is that it pumps blood. Without the blood, the body wouldn't be able to do anything. If you didn't have any blood in your hands, you couldn't really move them. If you didn't have any blood in your feet, you couldn't really go. If you had no blood in your head, well, nothing would really work, because that's a powerhouse. But the heart pumps blood. I got one more verse for you in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. The blood. We are covered in the blood of Christ. God died for us. Jesus' blood was shed for us so that we can do all of this. Because without that, there'd be no point. Without the blood, the body cannot move. The body will not work. The blood goes through the hands, through the feet, through the head, through all of the body. And if we are the body of Christ, we are covered in the blood. The blood is flowing in us. We are alive because of him. It's an amazing thing. God has given us an amazing opportunity to work together. If God is our heart, he will allow the feet to not just help you stand, it'll allow you to go, to move. Because we have blood in our hands, we are able to reach out to others. We are able to help those who are in need, maybe those who do not have the blood flowing through them right now. It could be your neighbor. It could be someone you're sitting next to right now. It could be someone who maybe has never heard the word of God, and you just need to reach out. And like I said, it could be someone you don't even know yet. With the blood in the head, it enables us to think. It enables us to see the problems of the world, to hear what's going on in our communities and everything around us. It allows us to understand, interpret, and to speak. The heart pumps the blood. God is the heart of the church. I'm going to call the worship team up right now. And as they're coming up, if this message has moved you in a way that maybe you haven't thought about it before, maybe God is calling you to be feet. Maybe he's calling you to go somewhere. Maybe you're not comfortable, but God is calling you. I encourage you to take that step. Maybe God is calling you to be some hands, to reach out to someone that you might not know that well, but God's calling you to do it. Reach out to them. I encourage you to pull them in and bring them to an understanding of God. Maybe God is calling you to be a head. Maybe God's calling you to speak to someone. Maybe there's a problem going on around you that you don't really know how to handle it. We got a great book here that will give you the answer. You just need to get into it. To see it, to hear it, to understand it, and to do something about it. God is the heart of the church. If you are feeling called to any of these, and there's so much more, that if I tried to cover it, we'd be here a very long time. But maybe God is calling you to be the hands and feet or head. Maybe he's calling you to be part of the body. I encourage you to think about it, to pray about it. And if you feel called, I'll be right over here. I may not be the one to help you, but I can get you to the person to help you. Let's stand and sing.